It's time to listen different with Podcast 411, the podcast that brings you the 411 on podcasts, podcasters, and podcasting.
Welcome to the May 28th show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. On today's show, our guest is Andrew from The Working Podcast. But before we get into the interview, a couple quick notes. With Memorial Day on Monday, our next show will be on Wednesday, June 1st. So no show this Monday. Today's show is brought to you by www.podcastingjobs.com. Well, actually, that is just a link to our jobs page, but sounded good, didn't it? No, I'm not selling out, folks. No commercials on the podcast. But again, that is www.podcastingjobs.com, place to find your podcasting job. Anyway, enough with the bad radio voice. Three, questions on the Skit Exchange. A couple people have emailed me that. I put some posts on some of the forum boards. This is a way to share skits with other podcasts that you've created or that they've created. These are pod-safe skits. This is not a place to exchange skits from Monty Python or any other copyrighted material. This is things to exchange where you, the podcaster, has a skit that you've done on your show. Hey, now get it out on some other shows. Get some publicity for your show that way rather than a promo. Paul from PK&J posted up a link to their material that you can use on their show. Very funny material. I recommend you go to our skits forum, check out the link to the PK&J page. Thank you, Paul, for putting that up. And if you're not listening to the PK&J show, shame on you. You should be. I am. Well, anyway, go to our Skit Exchange forum board. You can get to it from the main page, www.podcast411.com, and click on the Skit Exchange link at the top of the page. That's it for the notes for today's podcast. We're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Andrew from The Working Podcast. Here we go. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And good to be here.
Well, thank you. First question, what was your first computer?
So I knew you were going to ask me that, and I'll be honest, I'm not really a tech kind of guy. I do remember having a Texas Instruments laptop that my dad had brought home from work. And I mean, the thing was a brick. It was about 15 pounds and it had this 7-inch monitor that was a joke. And I used that. It got me by, you know, on Prodigy and AOL in the days of dial-up. Aside from that, I mean, I remember getting Nintendo, the regular 8-bit Nintendo, and playing Duck Hunt. And I was absolutely amazed that, you know, my TV screen could read the gun. Other than that, I mean, I had, I think, an Apple Newton at one point, which was like the biggest paperweight ever. And that was my, you know, when I delved into PDAs. But that's about it for first computers for me.
Well, see, you were really on the lunatic fringe of PDAs then, because that the Newton was the first PDA.
It was. And I'll be honest, that was another goodie that my dad had brought home from work. I mean, they would hand this guy tech equipment. He has no clue what to do with it. I mean, to this day, he's getting like a fancy Nextel phone. He has no clue how to turn it on or off. But when I was younger, I would inherit some of that stuff. I'm sure his employer wouldn't be too happy, but, you know, it was like Christmas for me, so it was great.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I think when I first found out what a podcast was, I went on to like Podcast Alley or Podcast Net, and I looked at the top 10. And what I did is I clicked around, and I listened to Dawn and Drew and Daily Source Code and Coverville, but really only for a couple of minutes each. And that was only because I was curious what other people were doing, because I knew this was something I wanted to do. But I didn't want to listen too much to the point where it was, all right, that's what they're doing. Now let me just do another carbon copy of it. While I appreciate what those guys do, and I think they've been pioneers in a sense, and it's great, I'm not really this regular podcast listener from the start. And that might not make me the most popular guy in the podcast community. But like I said, I do respect what everyone is doing.
Are there any that you're listening to now on a regular basis?
I do. I have clicked in, I'll be honest, ever since I got turned on to your site. That has turned me on to some of the other podcasts. I have checked out Nate and Di. I have listened to the Bit Jobs podcast. But I do find myself going back to Coverville quite a bit. I think it's just a nice show. It's fairly tight, and you do get some good tunes on there. So I do enjoy that one.
Yeah, Coverville is very well done.
It is.
Tell our listeners about the format and content of your podcast. And I know you have a lot of different segments. So maybe we can go over the different segments first to start out.
Yeah, we can. The show is The Working Podcast, and to my knowledge, it's the only podcast on the web that is dedicated pretty much to the fact that work sucks. You know, and whether it's a tiny paycheck, or you're working long hours, or you've got a bad boss, a lousy commute, I think everyone can relate to that. We tried to create a forum where people could speak their minds, and it's almost like a confessional. And a lot of the emails and feedback I've gotten is that it just feels good to get things off your chest. So some of the things we do, we have a salary reveal segment. And what this is, we get emails from regular people, just like you, who reveal either what they're making or their coworkers. And I think this is a neat thing to do because it just kind of gives you some real world perspective. People are always scared to talk about salaries for whatever reason. I've never been. I really don't think it's any sort of secret. So we kind of put it out there, and I think that's useful information. We also have word-of-mouth job listings. Now, these are also coming from regular people, and this is kind of like if you know someone at your job is leaving or you've heard rumblings that a company is expanding, you let us know, and we put it out there. Because I think anyone who's ever looked for a job, especially in this job market, you know, through a monster.com or hot jobs, there are literally thousands of people applying for these entry-level positions. So here, you're kind of getting a little bit of a leg up and finding out about jobs before everyone else, which is what we're trying to create. That segment has kind of, I think slowly it's coming together, and I think as we get more clicks and as podcasting grows, that is the segment that has got the greatest potential. We also have the commuter corner, and this is real simple, rants and raves about getting to and from work. And whether you're on the train or the bus or driving in your car, anyone who's ever done it, you know things just drive you nuts. So people call us up, they send us emails, and they kind of just go nuts about their own experiences. I mean, hey, I use it as a forum for myself too. It is really, really therapeutic, and you definitely should try it out if you get a chance to listen to our show and contribute, because that's kind of the whole goal of the podcast, is getting this community going on. I mean, I'm not really interested in hearing my voice. In fact, I try not to listen to my own podcasts. I'm really interested in getting a lot of other people, and we just make this a show about work, and part of it could be useful information, and part of it could be humor, just to let everyone know, hey, we're all in the same boat. Let's get through this together. That's pretty much the deal.
I enjoyed the different segments. It made the show flow really well. And one of the questions I have to ask is, whenever I listen to a podcast, I listen to them in reverse order. The reason I do that when I'm listening to a new one before the interview is I want to listen to the most recent things because people get better as they go along rather than trying to listen to the original, because in the original ones, usually they're very bad and they're not there and they haven't developed. Now, your early one, you already had the segments in the first one, and I was like, how long did you work on the ideas for your podcast before you launched the first show?
I probably took, honestly, 2 to 3 weeks. Once I decided this is what I want to do, you know, I'm a big believer, and it's something I've learned at jobs I've had, is you never go to market with a product that isn't ready to go. So I kind of just took that, and I went with it. And as much as it killed me for those lead-up weeks saying, I want to get on the air, I want to do this, I took my time, and I made sure I had my production ready. And I made sure I had at least a skeleton of the website built and the domain name I wanted. And I went about it that way. I think one of the problems with podcasting is that people, you know, they pop up after a night of drinking and say, hey, let me get a show going. And then you never hear from them again. And I think that kind of turns off podcast listeners when you go back and it's like after the fourth show, a guy hasn't posted in a few weeks. So this way, I knew if I saw it through for a few weeks, I would see the entire thing through and go to market with a product that, you know, at least I'm not super embarrassed of. I mean, you know, do I want mom and pop listening? I don't know about that. But at least most people who know me, if they heard it, I wouldn't be super, super embarrassed. So that was kind of the goal.
You are from New York, so it's not exactly family friendly.
Not friendly.
Well, actually, it's definitely not work friendly.
Oh, my God, it is not work friendly.
It's
people write in, they've got it bad. But, you know, I always say, coming from New York, no one can match this commute. I mean, maybe some people in California, between the low pay and the bad bosses and the animals on the street. I mean, I'm sorry. I will put my commute or my gig up against anybody's, and mine sucks. I'm going to lose every time.
Yeah, you were mentioning in one of your podcasts, you're on the dirtiest of all the subway lines. And for anyone who's been on New York subways, that says a lot.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's a certain corner, actually, every morning I take the same route, and there's one corner that the stench, I mean, I can't even put it into words, and there's no reason for it. There's no garbage on the ground. I don't understand why it smells like that, but it does. So it is rough. It's a rough going.
What is the typical length of your show?
The typical length of our show, I try to keep it about 15 minutes. I think between 15 and 20 is realistically where we keep landing. I'm constantly trying to pull myself back because as much as I have it in my mind to keep the show moving, you know, you tend to babble and you tend to and ah and maybe get a little heated. But the goal is 15 minutes because I think it's important. I think some people do longer shows, but I think the average commute, which is when I prefer people listening to the show because I just think it lends itself naturally to that, is going to be about 15, 20 minutes. So
now here's a question that you know I listen to all your shows. What happened to Eric?
what happened to Eric? Eric is the man, and Eric is going to be back. He is one of my best buddies, and he is one of the few guys we're just on the same page. And he lives in Jersey. I live in Queens. And it's the kind of thing where we can get together once a week or maybe every other week and do the show. You know, it's the kind of thing where our schedules are so hectic that I kind of wanted something where I just had full control over. But Eric is going to be back. I know he's done with classes. And in the summer, hopefully we can get him at least as a contributor, if not as a co-host on the show.
Okay, because I know he was on your first show, and then you had mentioned, I think, on the second that he was going to be back, and then he never came back, and I was wondering. And then I think the last one was Leo popped in. Who's Leo?
Leo popped in. Leo is another one of the Motley Queens crew. He could fill in some of the blue-collar void that I just don't understand. I mean, this guy has done everything from fix toilets to collect money from meters to build bookshelves for large companies. He's kind of done it all, and I think he has a unique and interesting perspective, and he gets wound up pretty easily. So I figured, let's give him a little slot on the show and throw him two lousy seconds out of his 15 minutes of fame. So,
can you tell listeners where to locate your podcast? And while you're at it, you might as well give them your voicemail number, too.
Absolutely. You can find us at workingpodcast.com. You can always email us anything, whether it's a rant about work, you want to out a salary, you know of a great job lead, anything. I mean, we're down with anything. Workingpodcast@gmail.com is the place to do that. We're also open to you sending us MP3 files or WAV files. We're going to play them on the show. You can also call our hotline. That number is 917-562-8649. Just a regular voicemail. It's a regular call. No 900 number here. Whatever tolls you pay, use your free minutes on your cell phone. You call us about anything, and we're going to get your clips on the show.
Now, onto the technology side. You mentioned you're on the Windows platform. What software are you using for the editing of your show and the organizing of it?
I basically right now am using Sony SoundForge and CoolEdit Pro. And the only reason I'm using two programs is I don't have the plugin for CoolEdit Pro. And along the lines of the Working Podcast, unfortunately, my salary right now is not affording me to buy any new fancy equipment. So I'm basically working as if this were 1999 and doing things a bit backwards. But with a wife and eventually a kid on the way, I don't really have any other choice. So CoolEdit Pro is just something I had picked up, I think, at a previous job. And I just find a lot of the compression settings in there and some really simple basic plugins lend themselves well, at least to my voice and to the show in general. I just think it's a nice, straightforward editing program. And SoundForge, I'm only using that to convert things to an MP3 file.
I was making notes when I was listening to the different shows, and the one that cracked me up was you had asked theft. And there was one guy that stole everything. You know, I'd be afraid to own a company hearing a story like that. The guy stole everything, including golf clubs and pounds of hand. Where did this guy work that he had access to golf clubs?
You know, I would love to tell you where he worked. He is a friend of mine, so I don't want to put him out there. This guy, and I swear to you, God is my witness, the amount of things he took from work, you're right, it would scare the heck out of me to own a company. And a lot of the emails we got too, I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm just a peon. Because people are walking out with, I mean, whether it's a ham or a turkey, why do you need to steal something like that from work? Or bookshelves, computers, projectors. We got emails on everything. I mean, the most popular, for whatever reason, was people stealing food, which I found interesting. But yeah, that guy who called the show, let me tell you, he is hooked up from things he has taken, and I do feel bad for his previous employer, man, because they got wiped out.
Oh, I was listening to that, and as a former manager, I'm like going, oh my God.
Yeah, it makes your skin crawl. Like, with all the technology today, you think they'd have a little camera or something, but, I mean, he got away scot-free, so, you know, I'm not going to incriminate him now.
Okay. It was just cracking me up when I was listening to that part. On your show, I noticed early on you got a good deal of traffic just based on the feedbacks, and it was rather quickly you were getting feedback from people. How did you go out about getting the marketing of your podcast out there? What did you do? What secrets you'd like to tell other podcasts about what you did to help them?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest thing you can do are message boards. People don't realize how valuable they are. And when you're posting on them, even if it's a small message board, the more recent your post, you're going to show up on a lot of the larger search engines much, much earlier on in the results. And that's something I didn't even realize going into this. I just figured, let me spend a week and do a full-on blitz and hit every single site that I know of and basically call for contributors. I was looking for people's stories. And these message boards really catapulted this site onto people's radar. You know, we've been going at this about 6 weeks now. I think we launched something like April 16th, and we are well over 20,000 unique visitors to the site.
That's amazing.
There's obviously less people listening to the MP3 files. However, just that amount of traffic so quick really made me believe, all right, I'm onto something here. People want a podcast like this. And even today, I just got an email. It could be as simple as one sentence. Hey, I love the show. You're doing a great job. And if there's one person listening, I'm happy to do it. I think it's great. I'll be honest. I mean, a simple Google search on message boards, you know, and you just run down the list and you pick out the ones that you think, hey, this one looks pretty reputable. They're probably getting some clicks. And it works.
See, folks, that's why you listen to this podcast, to learn how to promote your podcast.
Look, I'll be honest, and I don't want to pander to the humble host here, but ever since checking out your site, it's given me some more ideas, and it's turned me on to other podcasts. And, you know, I think the great thing about podcasting right now is we're still in an era where the little guy could be number one. And, you know, you could take Dawn and Drew. I know they've been hovering in that top five for a while. Well, you know, as ABC, who announced today they're getting into podcasting, and NBC or MSNBC, these big guys are going to knock all the little guys off of these lists. So it's a real interesting time to be podcasting.
It's been a wild ride since I started following in October. I started doing Google searches. And if you just look at a Google search on podcast January 1st, and it was like less than 800,000. Today it's 7.7 million. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And, you know, being a little bit, a tiny part of the satellite radio revolution and working over at XM for a while, and I just saw the growth with that and how it started out where you have a couple of thousand people listening to where now you have millions listening. I just knew as soon as I sniffed out podcasting, I'm like, this is going to grow even faster because the product is actually better and it's more interesting and it's more unique. And I just knew, hey, this is something that I've got to be a part of. And you're right. I mean, every day I'll just do a Google search and I'll be blown away at how many articles there are and how many of the big boys are getting involved now.
I'd just like to say I really enjoyed your show. I will continue to be subscribed to it. And for everyone out there that has a job, I mean, you're going to love it, this podcast. And I love
Thank you.
Just from having been in the corporate world for 16 years, I can relate to so many of the stories.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I do think that anyone from an intern or a kid right out of college looking for a job or someone who's been a manager, or a supervisor. There's something for everybody in this show. And I think that's the one great hook about it is that everybody could relate. It's cool that we've gotten 20,000 unique hits in such a short amount of time. To me, that's nothing. We're shooting much, much higher because it's a show for everybody, the everyman. So definitely check it out if you do get a second. We do appreciate it.
And I think your show is going to be my motivation to do well on my own so I don't have to go back working for the man again.
Oh my God, I'll pray for you that you never have to go back, seriously.
Okay, Andrew, is there anything else you'd like to say about the show before we get going here?
Like I said, I think if you do get a chance, this show is dependent on you. Sure, I could do this once a week or twice a week, and I'll come up with enough stories for everybody, but that's not what it's about. It's about getting a community going on, and everyone out there, if you've ever had a bad day at work or a bad commute or just something you want to vent about, this is the place to do it, and we can hook each other up. And as far as other podcasters go, I think the best thing they can do, and I don't claim to be any sort of expert, though I have gathered enough radio experience at this point. I think other podcasters need to make an effort to be unique, be consistent, be creative, and be concise. You got to keep the show moving, and that is something I try to do. And look, if you think the show sucks or if there's something you don't like about it, I'm way open to those emails too, because like I said, it's all about the group.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten that feedback, and my famous, the greatest one still was where I commented early on. I said, content is king, audio quality is queen. Two shows later, someone sent me an email, said, Rob, the queen left the castle. And, you know, I've been working very hard and diligently to get the queen back in the castle, and I did that a couple of shows ago, and I'm glad I'm where I'm at now.
Exactly, and you can hear the difference. And I'll tell you, if you, in that very first show, if you don't sound the way you want to be for your entire podcast, they're not going to come back. It's like that. Anyone who's ever worked in marketing or advertising, you know that. You've got one chance to make an impression, as cheesy and cliche as it sounds. So get your podcast right. And if you're thinking of going to air with one, plan it out a little bit. Think it through. You know, what are you going to do for the first show? What are you going to do for future shows? And you go about it that way. And, you know, I think you'll succeed.
Okay, great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Robert, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Andrew from The Working Podcast. You can check out that podcast, and I recommend you do, at www.working.com. podcast.com. Andrew, thank you for coming on the show. You're a great guest. And if you out there would like to be a great guest on our show, send an email or a promo to podcast411@gmail.com. That's podcast411@gmail.com. Another note about the Working Podcast, Andrew interviewed me to be on his podcast. So again, go there to check out his podcast to hear me. At the end of today's podcast, we'll be playing a promo from the Firehouse Radio podcast. So stick around to listen to that. That's it for today, folks. As always, this is Rob reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
Firehouse Radio.
We're not your mother.
Hey, this is Jim Getz at Firehouse Radio. If you like excitement, then you have to check out the Firehouse Radio Show. Action, talk, music, and more is what you'll hear on our weekly podcast, found exclusively on Firehouse.fm. Hey, we're firefighters doing radio right. Tell them, Chef.
What's the matter, children? It's Firehouse Radio.